7BR Part Heard.
Hello and welcome to 7BR's 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Eleanor Day, Chambers paralegal, and here on the Part Heard podcast, we've spent the last 6 months traversing the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. Now, as we near the end of this most unusual of years, we're taking the opportunity for reflection. So each day for the next 12 days, a different member will discuss a 2020 case of theirs in a sort of legal advent calendar. Today, Simeon Maskery QC is here to speak about Khan against Meadows, which was recently heard in the Supreme Court. Simeon is a star individual or band one silk in all of the major directories for each of his three main practice areas, which consist of maximum severity, clinical negligence, personal injury, and product liability cases. He has appeared in the European Court of Justice, the Supreme Court, and the House of Lords, and has sat as a Deputy High Court judge since 2001.
Hello, everybody, and happy Christmas. My name is Simeon Maskery. In the 12 days before Christmas, others give gifts of turtle doves and pipers, but we at Bedford Row are apparently giving you gifts of the analysis of certain cases that have been heard in the higher courts. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is for others to judge. But anyway, here we go. I'm going to mention the case called Khan against Meadows, which was heard recently in the Supreme Court. I was leading counsel for the defendant and Philip Havers was leading counsel for the claimant. The issue for the Supreme Court was whether a doctor was liable for the financial consequences of the claimant's child being born with autism in circumstances where the doctor had wrongfully failed to advise her that she was a carrier of haemophilia. It was argued by the claimant that if she had known she was a carrier, she would have had fetal anomaly testing when pregnant. She would have learned that the fetus had haemophilia, and she would therefore have terminated that pregnancy. Thus, she would not have had a child with haemophilia or autism. On a straightforward basis, said the claimant, but for causation was fulfilled. The doctor had admitted that autism was a disability that was foreseeable, albeit unlikely, and thus, said the claimant, legal causation was also fulfilled. In the High Court, the judge, Mrs. Justice Yip, accepted the claimant's analysis and judgment was entered for the consequences of the haemophilia and the consequences of the autism. The defendant, however, argued that the claimant had ignored one essential step in determining the extent of the doctor's liability, and that was to analyse what consequences the doctor ought to be liable for, irrespective of any issues of factual and legal causation. The defendant argued that this was a mandatory requirement following the House of Lords decision in SAMCO, that's S-A-A-M-C-O, a decision taken in the 1990s. An analysis of the risks for which the doctor was taking responsibility in this particular case made it obvious that it was only the consequences of the haemophilia. The mother retained responsibility for all of the other risks of pregnancy, whether they applied to her or to the baby. The Court of Appeal agreed with the defendant's analysis, and the claimant thus appealed to the Supreme Court. A seven-justice court was allocated to determine the issue, which may give some indication as to the importance of the case as far as the Supreme Court was concerned, and insofar as SAMCO was apt for consideration in personal injury cases. The claimant argued that SAMCO was a decision in a commercial context and that it was not apt for personal injury and quasi-personal injury cases, that it didn't reflect the fact that in personal injury cases, as against commercial transactions, there really was no analysis of the risks that were allocated as between the parties or the risks that were assumed by the parties or deemed to be assumed by the parties. The claimant went on to say that in previous cases, the Court of Appeal had actually determined that damages were recoverable for all of the consequences of a so-called wrongful birth or wrongful conception, and thus that SAMCO, or at least SAMCO in the context that the defendant argued for, did not apply. In the Supreme Court, the defendant, on the other hand, argued that a wrongdoer was not and never had been held responsible for all of the losses flowing from a breach of duty, even if they were caused by the breach of duty in fact and were reasonably foreseeable and thus legally caused by the breach of duty. It was argued that though it was only right that a doctor should be liable for the consequences of being careless in respect of the things she was advising about, there was no reason in principle why a doctor should also be liable in respect of matters that she took no responsibility for and could not have taken responsibility for. It was said by the defendant that SAMCO applied to the law of negligence generally. It was not and should not be limited to particular branches of the law of negligence. That way, it was argued, lay uncertainty and confusion. As for the Court of Appeal cases relied upon by the claimant, it was the defendant's case that the Court of Appeal were answering entirely different questions from the one that there was before the Supreme Court. And in any event, on closer analysis, the Court of Appeal had endorsed the applicability of SAMCO in wrongful birth and wrongful conception cases. Thus, said the defendant, there was no reason in principle or precedent for the appeal to be allowed. The case has some considerable importance in determining whether and to what extent liability is an issue that should be analysed in personal injury and clinical negligence cases in the context of restrictions on the scope of liability. It's got importance in determining whether, in fact, there are any practical limitations to liability for the consequences of wrongdoing, other than but for factual causation and reasonable foreseeability. In other words, if the claimant is right, once a breach of duty has been held to exist, once a breach of duty has been shown to have been breached, and once it has been shown that the adverse consequences have been factually caused by the breach of duty and were reasonably foreseeable, liability exists for all of the consequences. Is that the law in relation to wrongful birth and wrongful conception cases? Or is it the law in relation to clinical negligence cases or personal injury cases or quasi-personal injury cases? Or is the SAMCO restriction actually limited to cases in a commercial context where there is a financial loss as a consequence of being required to enter into a transaction consequent upon advice given? Well, these are matters that have yet to be determined by the Supreme Court. We will get the judgment in the new year. In the meantime, once again, happy Christmas to you all, and I hope that the judgment, when it comes out, is not a blight upon your new year. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to 7BR's 12 Days of Christmas. For more information and to listen to all our previous episodes, please visit our website.